Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, you mob? All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office Australia is a national organisation focused on supporting young people to thrive. They collaborate with a network of Duke of Ed partners and volunteers, including schools, organisations, governments and businesses, to support Australian young people meet new challenges, gain important life skills and realise their potential. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Peter Kay, AMESM, Duke of Ed CEO, and we have Peter on the line. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Very well, thank you.
Welcome to the program. And where are you based, Peter?
I'm based in Sydney, but I'm in Parliament House, Canberra at the moment.
Okay. In the big house. All right. Thank you very much.
In the big house. That's right.
So enlighten us. The Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office Australia, the ignorance, but haven't heard of the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office Australia. So paint the picture for us, please, my friend.
Yeah. Okay. So the Duke of Edinburgh's Award started over 60 years ago, and clear from the name, it started in the UK. But it's being used in over 130 countries, so it's gone well beyond the UK, Commonwealth, etc. So, you know, we have more recent countries using the Duke of Ed would include everything from China to Bulgaria, you know, a lot of Eastern European countries. And when I say using the Duke of Ed, what it is for the listeners, the Duke of Ed is not something young people do, but it's something they use. It's a framework, a four-part framework that helps young people organise their activities, their non-formal education activities in a balanced way, and then have those activities accredited and recognised internationally.
So we're talking life skills with a certificate, so to speak.
You got it. You got it. So you've got your mainstream education that results in a formal education qualification, and the Duke of Edinburgh is the international equivalent for non-formal education. So that's exactly what it is.
Fantastic. And so this program, is it in our curriculum? Is it in our schools, is it?
Yeah, look, yes, it is in schools, and increasingly so. And when I say it's increasingly so, it's, you know, it's been around in Australia for over 60 years, but the last 5 years in particular, we've seen a really substantial growth of interest, and that's come from more and more demand by employers and from TAFE and universities for evidence of non-formal education. In other words, they want to see evidence that young people have gone just beyond the classroom learning and have built up core life skills in a very deliberate, you know, goal-oriented way.
Peter, I quote, an affirmation just came to my mind, and the affirmation is, it's your attitude, not your aptitude, that will determine your altitude in life. This would be, thank you, this would be the certificate virtually confirming that. So you are good, you got the education, you got the skills, you got the, you finished your grade 12, you passed in honours in regarding science and math and what have you, but how's your thinking? How's your thinking? You know, how's your attitude? And this program you're talking about, fantastic, it gives you a piece of paper certificate. I think that just throws more meat on the bone in regard to who you really are, which is great.
Yeah, it does. And the No one expected the Duke of Ed when it was created, you know, all those years ago, that it'd still be operating today, let alone being more relevant today than it was back in the 50s. But what's made it more relevant, the design of it, it says to a young person, do something that's about improving your mental and physical well-being, typically a sport. Do something that's about improving your wider core life skills, you know, so we used to call those hobbies and interests, but do them in a more deliberate way. Do some volunteering, give to your community, and then take on a team challenge. Go and do an overnight activity with a small group of people that's personally challenging. And the other feature is that these activities are done over time, so it's not something you can do over a weekend or a week away or during the school holidays. You know, we're talking a minimum 12 weeks and typically, you know, 6-9 months. And as young people select the activities, because the Duke of Ed doesn't tell them what to do, that's decided at the school level or the youth organisation level, the PCYC level, they determine what activities are available and what interests the young people. And they set a personal goal, and it's all about PBs, personal bests.
Fantastic. Well, it helps you stretch as a as an individual. Is this open for boys and girls, Peter?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking year nine.
Okay.
We're talking 13, 14-year-olds. 90% use the framework during school, but it's available to up to their 25. So if they continue on and they want to come in as young adults, more than welcome. But, you know, substantially the opportunities are typically at school, and they can take on three levels of challenge named bronze, silver and gold. And each one just progressively becomes more personal. So by the time they're doing a goal, the activity selection and the goals they set for themselves are a lot more individual, whereas, say, at the beginning of the bronze, they're doing a lot more group activity. You know, they're working through things with their friends typically.
Look, it's fantastic. The other hat I wear, Peter, motivational speaker, something I do on the side and what have you, of everything else that I do. I just got a desire to inspire, love life and what have you, and I love sharing that with people. I've always said that this information should be a subject in the curriculum, and that's what I'm picking up here with the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office, you know, to what it delivers the program. This should be templated. Do your maths, do your science, but do your life skills as well. I think it's so very important.
Yeah, Trevor, look, you're spot on. It's always been positioned as a parallel stream. Many schools that do take it on usually offer it in a sort of a club, just like you have the chess club or the debating group, you know, you have the Duke of Ed. But what we're now seeing around Australia is schools increasingly offering it to all their year nine. So they're embedding it into their year nine, and they're saying, hey, give this a go. It's helped you build up your CV.
Yes.
And the Duke of Ed also digitally accredits. So it's, these days it's not just a piece of paper, they're actually receiving a micro-credential for each of the four sections they complete. And that sort of contemporary way of recognising completion in the form of that digital micro-credential is more and more being sought after by, again, employers and the higher education sector. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, Peter, the presenters themselves, are they teachers, or are they presenters from the offices, so to speak, that comes in?
No,
classroom?
Okay.
How's it work?
Look, good question, because it exposes how we operate. So a school gets licensed to offer the framework to their students.
Yeah.
Each of the activities the school identifies as being that they'd like to suggest or make available, they find a local subject matter expert and they act as mentors so for example, someone wants to do public speaking and they know that you're interested and available, they might approach you and say, we've got 15 students that want to do public speaking.
Right.
Would you be their mentor for the Duke of Ed assessment?
Sure. So that person would be, if not a professional. So is that a procurement? Is that a business opportunity, a business invoice, so to speak, in regard to delivery?
Oh, look, the majority of them do it voluntarily.
Okay, thank you.
You an indication, Trevor, we have 62,000 such people in Australia.
Okay, beautiful, yeah.
Right, so there's this huge group of people that put their hand up and saying, I'm able to show people a bit about welding, or how better do a bit of coding or whatever it might be. And the volunteering is often done in the community, and it's done through existing organisations. So we've got more and more students being encouraged and directed to look at volunteering that might interest them and help them develop as well. So in many ways, the Duke of Ed acts as a bit of a pipeline to support, be it the emergency services volunteering or be it the local environment project.
Look, I'm becoming a big fan. I think it's fantastic. And this should be templated across this country in all schools, I feel.
Yeah, well, thanks for the encouragement. Yeah. And certainly we know in Queensland, in Queensland, the Department of Education actually holds a master licence.
Okay.
So, we encourage any of your listeners that are involved with the various schools in the communities that you reach.
Yes.
If the school is not offering the Duke of Ed, contact the Department of Education. They have full-time staff that just work on the Duke of Ed.
Okay, fantastic.
And and say, right, we want more information. We want our school to access this framework. And, I know the Director General is right behind it, the former minister, the new Minister of Education are right behind it.
Yep.
He reached out within a week of being sworn in as minister and rang me and said, right, just want to let you know we're going to keep the momentum up on this.
Beautiful, beautiful. So how do people contact the office?
Yeah, look, the best way, the old favourite these days, go on the website, Dukeoved, dukeoved.com.au, and the contacts are all on there, or the Department of Education, Brisbane's head office.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing, Peter. All the best to you. You have a great day. Thanks for sharing. I think it's fantastic.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye. Cheers. Beautiful yarn there. Peter Kay, his name is AMESM, Duke of Ed CEO. So the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office and of Australia. It's a national organisation, as Peter did mention. It's operating in over 60-odd countries around the world. So look, fantastic. And you get a certificate out of it all. And it's just life skills, learning about life. And like I said, it should be in the curriculum, is in the curriculum. It's possible to be in the curriculum if you reach out and make the contact. Like I said, you learn about maths and science, what have you. But how's your thinking? How's your vision for your future? How's your communication skills? How's your love for yourself? That sort of stuff. That should be in the curriculum, point blank, left, right and centre, through all schools, and help our young ones get rid of the stinking thinking and get their focus on life and loving that person in the mirror and all that sort of stuff. That is a big, deadly investment. So there's my input for that. So fantastic. And here I am at National Talk Black with your daily program at Bummer Bipper Media. And we're live here for the Talk Black program. You can have your say. Call that number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yana with the Bullion here. Trevor, Tim, Trindy, Trev, Murray from the Curry. Acknowledge my mob, my father's side, Wanyi Gungalita. That's the Dumuji Mornington Island way. And born in the Curry, Murray from the Curry, and my beautiful mother with me in spirit, Darnley Island, Arab. And was born in Cairns, and went to Cairns High, Mum, so beautiful. And look, love to all my family, and look, have you saying Yana Strong. And I want to give a big shout out to Forum W, Torres Strait Island, mentioned them, who've joined us now, I think coming up to about a month now regarding the program. And you mob up there in Torres Strait can have your say as well. You're going to talk about what's happening on your island or happening with your organisation. All ears here. Big shout out to AFL House. I know a lot of Torres Strait Island kids go to the boarding school here in Cairns at the girls' hostel and the boys' hostel, houses, they call, and had their graduation the other night at the Pullman Hotel, very deadly. I think we had about 15 grade 12s graduate, and that's so very important. Then I also went to the Jarrigan College in regard to their summit 2024. Big shout out to Sister Alison Halliday, who organised that, and I got to hear the main man there, Mr. Pearson, Noel Pearson, who spoke at the opening. He talked about the importance of education, and our deadly black kids should be finishing grade 12 and getting that that graduation and then going on to further education, yes, but if not, finish grade 12. And we had 15 kids graduate from the AFL House, so that was deadly. Too deadly, fantastic. So that's what it's all about, your mob. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? All is here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
in the river land. Born of her mother into her mother's hands. And she was free as the river was wild. She was so innocent, such a beautiful child. Institutions. What could they do with this child? Where was the neat solution? But there was nothing they could do, so they gave her to the streets. And she joined all the rest of the hungry and the tired feet.
And you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Raining, you and me. So won't you TV boys gon' do. I wish that I can go back to them times where they were fine. And now I'm getting older and I wanna go home. I wanna go home. So take me home to TV Islands. Life took me away. And a place where the love is near. And when my time comes by, gonna bury me back home. And that ain't no lie, and that ain't no lie. I'm gonna tell my kids, take me back to Tiwi Island where I live with some time.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumber Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All ears here for your Yarn, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Now, a fruitful partnership to boost bush food. How's this sound? Shared vision to boost Australia's Indigenous-led bush food industry is the key to the partnership between the University of Queensland and Rugenic, which makes products with Australian plants that have nutritional and health properties. The partnership incorporates research from the ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods on the properties of leaves and fruits like Kakadu plum, Gubinj or Jilungjin, and wattle seed sourced primarily from indigenous communities and small farms. Look, we're down to catch up again with Professor Yasmina Saltaboa, ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods Director, and we have Professor Yasmina on the line. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Where are you based?
I'm based in Brisbane.
In Brisbane. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming to the program. And look, collaboration, talking about working with Indigenous communities. And
yes.
That in itself is a good ingredient when you're mixing different cultures together. And then we're talking about bush tuck and what have you. So paint the picture in regard to the fruitful partnership to boost bush food.
Yes. So I'm based at the University of Queensland and... Mm-hmm. I'm a food scientist by profession, and I have worked with Indigenous communities across Northern Australia for the past 15 years.
Okay.
And what is really important for me is these trusted partnerships that we have formed with the communities and some of the industry partners that we are working with, and that is what I really wanted to speak about today, Trevor.
Thank you. Fantastic. I noticed a bit of an accent there. We say to mob, who you mob, where you from. Who's Professor Yasmina Sultanbawa? Who are you? Where do you come from?
Okay. I'm originally from Sri Lanka. So I migrated to Australia in 2007. And since then, I've been at the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries. And then I moved to the University of Queensland.
When you say professor, in what field, Yasmina?
In food science.
In food science. Well, there you go. Yes. Hence the nice partnership now you have with our indigenous bush food industry. Fantastic.
Yes.
So tell us about your connection and what have you got in play, and are we taking this further in regarding schools, education, university, and if not, into the workforce, restaurants, businesses? Yes.
Yes, all big questions, Trevor. So we actually, when I was working in Sri Lanka, I used to work with the fisheries community, and I realized the importance of the science that underpins a lot of the work that we did.
Yes.
And when I came to Australia, I really was missing that community engagement till I really
yes.
had the fortune of working with indigenous communities in Northern Australia,
mm-hmm.
so like in the Dalley River, in the Wadai community, and in Nullanbai. And what I found was that the chemistry and the food science that I knew, I thought I should look at nutritional properties, of course, with the invitation of the communities for
yes.
me to visit them.
Protocol.
And I found that they were really nutrient-rich and nutrient-dense, and they are, in comparison to conventional fruits like blueberries, the antioxidant levels are much higher.
Yes.
And that really made me think, what are the economic benefits that can come into communities if we can really develop these bush food enterprises?
I'm picking up the fact, Professor, yes, you are a professor, but when you're dealing with our mob there, you became a student.
we are students
for life, are we not? You know,
I am a student. I learn much more than I can ever give. So you're 100% correct.
Exactly. So the communication has been fantastic, and it has created a nice space. When you talk about the longest living culture on planet Earth. We are the longest living culture on planet because we know how to survive, we know how to live, and of course we're talking nutritional food, we're talking hunting and gathering. So that in itself is an encyclopedia, is it not?
Of course, you are the best. I think it's the most resilient culture that I have seen, and the generosity in sharing knowledge and the languages that you speak, it's just amazing. Mm. There's so much for us to learn and for the world to learn, and I really admire that 65,000 years of knowledge has been still in community. And the community is really, I work with family-owned businesses because I think that's where the creation and the innovation is.
Yes.
And also, they are the groups that really don't get any funding from the government because they're family-owned businesses.
Sure, exactly. And when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. So here you are as a professor coming to the table, but then you're being active with it and you're engaging, and now you're creating a beautiful space, a vehicle, so to speak, which helps yourself, but helps university, helps ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods, and it helps our people in regarding delivering and sharing. Like I said, protocol, getting permission to do so as well. All that comes into play. So it's a nice, partnership in more ways than one, yes.
Yes, yes. And what happens there is I also think that in addition to economic benefits for communities, it's about the place, the location they're in, the plants and the people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have industry partners who could be non-Indigenous who come to work with us, we see whether they have the same values as us. And then when some of these industries have been introduced to us by communities to continue the research that we are doing, but you must have that market pull for economic benefits to go back into communities.
Exactly.
And now our enterprises have got together and formed a cooperative, which is very exciting, which is known as the Bush Foods and Bush Tucker Indigenous Enterprise Cooperative, which is 100% Indigenous owned and led cooperative.
Yes.
And I think that is going to be amazing because this cooperative can bring all these enterprises together and really develop some platforms, like they are doing a native food ledger where you can look at the traceability of these supply chains and really talk about provenance and authenticity. And then any buyer who wants to buy can be assured with the certification mark that this is coming from a community and really trace it back. So I think that's going to be a very powerful tool.
Good.
And I wish that a lot of the growers, indigenous growers and processors would really contact BBIC to understand how they can be a part of this, because I think if you can develop an app and really be able to have your products on one platform,
mm-hmm.
then it's almost like other people can come and buy it, but they also know that they're getting the authentic product.
Look, we're talking about creating jobs and, if not, business
yes.
opportunities, but also
yes.
for First Nation people to step into the tertiary education as well.
Of course, of course.
Opens up a lot of doors.
Yes, so I'm very excited that we are building our critical mass of Indigenous academics and students. So,
mm-hmm.
as you know, when you talk about social science or education, public health or medicine, you get a lot of Indigenous students who are in those fields.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk of agriculture and food, we don't have many PhD
mm-hmm.
students in that area.
Yeah, yes.
But now we are getting more students, and
mm-hmm.
that's really good, and we're getting academics in this area. So my hope for the future is that the research that we have created will be taken over by the Indigenous academics, and
beautiful.
They can work in partnership with
us. Beautiful. That's a good vision. So when you're talking about First Nation people sharing their culture, sharing their bush food, their bush tucker, and then turning into education, if not businesses, job opportunities, you could
yes.
say it's a powerful ingredient in more ways than one.
yes, I like the pun. That's perfect.
Yeah, pardon the pun, but so fantastic, yeah. So when you tell us a bit about ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods.
So the Australian Research Council Training Centre was actually, we got the funding in 2019, and
okay.
We have got 10 PhD students, but we had 20 who came in as associates. So almost 30 students have been trained.
Yes.
And this was very interesting because we had Indigenous PhD students at the latter stage. At the beginning, I couldn't recruit a lot, Trevor, but at the end, I did, and I'm very happy about that.
Good.
But we also had a lot of international PhD students who came from different cultures and now they have gone back home and they are learning about their food that they
beautiful.
Wouldn't have studied. So
exactly.
actually Australia and the Indigenous communities were an inspiration for them to go back home and explore the plants that they have that they
exactly
would
call it. And then we're talking about the communication with their
exactly.
elders back in their
yes.
own communities and with their people,
yes.
you know? And that's how
yes.
we've always survived as First Nation people, longest living culture on planet. We share our knowledges passed on to our children, therefore it lasts
yes.
forever. And it's,
yes.
sometimes it's hidden. We cannot see the rainforest because
yes.
the trees are in the way, Professor.
Exactly. And the generosity that you're showing, whenever I go into communities, they're like, learn about these things.
Good.
You know, that's so generous in sharing their knowledge. And my thing is like how can globally also people can gain from this, but we should also make sure that the communities itself get some benefit back
exactly.
for all the generosity that they have, so we protect
exactly.
their intellectual property and ensure that they have access and benefit. We ensure that outreach programs reach the school children, so we find that school children are a good source of building the future generation, and we have gone to schools and we've given some of the bush foods, and
beautiful.
Non-Indigenous students just love it.
Yeah, beautiful. And look, it's a two-way street. I mean, you're talking about
yes.
The First Nation people sharing their culture. So if
yes.
we're not talking about a business transaction, monetary,
yes.
but the cultural
yes.
side of it as well, I mean, that's also
yes.
very important, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So for me, language is very important, and yes. I think I go to communities and the children are speaking about four or five languages, and I'm in awe, and I think I'm pretty useless because I only speak about two or three, but English would be
this is Indian woman talking their language. That's beautiful.
So I think they're very, the kids are so smart, Trevor, it's unbelievable.
Of course they are, yes they are, yes.
Yes.
Fantastic. And look, how do people see what you're doing? Do you have a web page or does the ARC have a web page?
Yes, if you put Uniquely Australian Food and just Google it, the ARC web page would come up. And please go and have a look at the work that we do. And if you need any support or help, just contact us.
Sure. We always say as First Nation people, if you want to know anything, just go and talk to Auntie Google. So check out Auntie Google, check out ARC, A-R-C, Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods, and you'll get all the information. You'll be able to witness Professor Yasmina, the work that you're doing there, working with our mob.
Yes.
Fantastic opportunity.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for sharing and all the best. And so how often do you get out to community doing all the stuff?
Cool.
Or do the First Nation people go to the ARC Training Centre? I mean, is it a two-way street?
It's a two-way street.
Yeah, good.
So I just returned from Broome. So maybe October 21st, I arrived in Broome and we went right up to Kununurra with one of my communities. I visited other communities. We did like, I think, 1,500 kilometres or something.
Sounds like you've been adopted, my sister. You're part of the family now.
There's so much more to do.
Yeah,
so I'm very excited, and I really want Indigenous academics and more Indigenous PhD students to join us. So
beautiful.
And then build this group, Critical Mass, and then that would be it could be their turn then to take over.
Yeah, beautiful. Exactly. Hand the baton over. Look, it's a fantastic. Yes. I open up with the conversation with the title, the statement, a fruitful partnership to boost bush food, and you're doing exactly that, Professor. Great talking with you. Thank you for sharing. And look, all the best to your team. Say hello to the mob when you catch up with them.
Okay.
And we will yarn soon, Professor.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Good yarn. All the best. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn. Professor Yasmina Saltabawa is her name. ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods Director and a fruitful partnership to boost bush food. So working with the mob there on country, there Western Australia and up the coast, and look fantastic. And it's a fantastic way of community start growing for businesses and scaling up. So where it begins research, so communication there's a Indigenous woman from overseas in regarding India, and she's a professor here, but working close with the mob, saw the opportunity, a love, a passion for food is what she's studying, and a professor of, and of course, why not go to the professors of the world when you're talking about the longest living culture on planet Earth. Too deadly, beautiful. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Down, ooh, no respect. Tamaringo, Uyula Jara.
Dumri Guyula here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And you can have your say because on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Curtin University and Dockers collaboration showcases traditional storytelling through tech. Indigenous Fremantle Dockers past players have collaborated with researchers from Curtin University Faculty of Humanities to present powerful stories to identify community and cultural connection through creative expression. With the catch of a yarn there with Mandy Downing, Curtin University Dean of Indigenous Futures, and we have Mandy on the line. Mandy, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning. And Kaya from Wajaknunga Budja.
Too deadly, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, I have maternal lineage to the Nelima Injibadi people of the Roeburn region, but I'm actually living and working on Wajaknunga Budja at Curtin University.
All right, beautiful. And big shout out to you, Mob. Thank you very much for coming, and thank you for coming to the program. So talking about a collaboration showcasing traditional storytelling through tech. So explain what's going on there. Fantastic. Please, Mandy.
Yeah, well, this is sort of part of my role at Curtin as the Dean of Indigenous Futures there. We've had a long-running partnership with the Fremantle Football Club.
Good.
And Fremantle, they don't have a lot of statistics, but one that they do have is a remarkable AFL record where Frio have had at least one Indigenous player take the field during an AFL match over a 30-year
Fantastic. So, and football is the vehicle, so to speak, but any way we can get black successes, by all means, yes.
Absolutely. So to me, this is what we describe as reconciliation.
Okay.
This is what we believe in for our people is we need more action and less talk. So we thought we would work together with Fremantle to try and come up with a way to celebrate some of these stories from the past Indigenous players with the club.
And when you say stories, are we talking about the individual, the players themselves, about their journey to success and playing AFL and their
Absolutely.
Life and their mob and all that, like the holistic stories, so to speak, of the individual, yes?
Absolutely. Because these are the things that, you know, we need to hear. I think these are the things that unite us as people, and that's only, as far as I'm concerned, good for society and good for all of us. So we've got multiple projects, and a large factor of it was around building relationships, so that relational aspect of normalising us working together and yarning and listening to each other's stories to come up with something for each player which really does celebrate their journey, their story, their legacy with the club.
And it creates a platform for young ones. You can't be what you can't see, you know, and
absolutely.
Inspiration for the young ones. And even if you're not using football as your vehicle, but then going to university, maybe that's, maybe become a doctor, maybe starting your own business. Inspiration in all forms.
Absolutely. And I think also this is research in itself.
Yes.
From the Faculty of Humanities. So we have things like journalism, creative writing, arts, human rights, loads of different things. But what we know we're good at is telling stories.
Yeah.
And so obviously working together with MOB,
exactly.
Born storytellers.
Yeah, exactly.
Our theme.
Exactly.
What we do.
And you can't beat black on black as well when you're talking about our mob, dealing with our mob and motivating and inspiring our mob. And that in itself is the best ingredient too.
Absolutely. So we've got about four different projects that we've managed to pull together with past players.
Yes.
So we've got a podcast that's been developed between Troy Cook and Dr. Glenn Greensmith from journalism.
Good.
And Troy does reflect a lot on personal growth, community.
Former Fremantle player, yep.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, yes.
We've also got one project that I'm particularly proud of because it involves the Curtin student in fine art, which is Cassandra Edwards, who's a Gamilaroi woman.
Yes.
And she's teamed up with Dr. Corrine Eli Harper and former AFLW player Alicia Jazz.
Good. So men and women, fantastic.
Of course.
Yes,
we
yes,
to.
Yes. We have to. That's right. Men's business, women's business,
women
all then. Success. That's right.
And Cass has been doing a lot of work around virtual reality and immersive experiences. So she's worked with Alicia in developing, recreating an experience of Alicia's. Of a welcome to country that she received on here on country.
Yeah.
So you put on the VR goggles and it's like you're there at the time when it's happening and you're alongside Alicia, and it's quite a unique experience to have shared with everyone. And then we've also got a couple more, which we've got John Curtin Professor, Distinguished Professor Kim Scott, and Jeffrey Farmer. Have worked together with some elders that have come, we brought up from community, and some young ones from Clontarf in.
Gee, array of people from from all different areas, young and old, professional, non-professional, elders.
Yeah.
You know, it's a beautiful platform. Fantastic.
It is, and it really is about that unity and sharing stories and.
Exactly.
I guess truth telling.
Yep.
You know, it's a lovely platform where we can all learn together.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out to the mob there and all the mob there, Curtin University, doing a fantastic job. Thank you for sharing, Mandy. Please do keep in touch. And thank you for sharing. Fantastic.
Great. Thanks so much.
You keep smiling. You take care. And we'll yarn soon, sister.
Thanks. Put on.
Okay. Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Mandy Downing, her name is, Curtin University Dean of Indigenous Futures. And it's come to time where Trinity Trevor signs off for today's program, you mob. Thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll yarn soon on here on National Talk Black. Stay tuned for news via NERS, National Radio Service. And good big shout out to the NERS team as well. Too deadly.